The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Runes, the 2018 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2018. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
My name is Sam Conan, and I've been involved with the classical Christian education movement for almost two decades. I've served as a teacher an academic dean at Petra Academy for the last 18 years. And my wife likes to joke that I had hair when I started. Yeah, I know. She says it's hard to grow grass on a busy street. So. Yeah. Petra Academy is an accredited ACCS school and has been a member school of the ACCS since 1995. And as an administrator, I'm very familiar with the issues involved in enrollment and retention of students, but I also have experience in digital marketing and web development. I started building websites in 1997 in college, and that grew into a small web development agency that specializes in websites optimized for digital marketing. We also provide coaching and consultation in digital marketing strategies and execution. And in my experience working with schools and business clients, especially startup clients, I've seen a lot of marketing efforts begun without really any clear understanding of who the audience is, what the message needs to be in order to reach them, and how to measure the effectiveness of marketing campaigns. This results in a lot of time and resources going toward materials that have no real impact in bringing new families or new customers to the school and retaining currently enrolled families. So I propose this digital marketing workshop for the ACCS conference because digital marketing is essential for classical Christian schools, and I know that many ACCS schools have really tight budgets and lean administrative staffs. So a clear digital marketing strategy can save a lot of time and resources and avoid a lot of mistakes. Using the internet to promote our schools is essential in a hypermobile age, as you're all aware. But a simple web search for digital marketing strategy results in a labyrinth of tools and products and resources and methods. The purpose of this talk is to create for you a clear path through that maze. We'll walk together through a process you can follow to implement a clear digital marketing strategy for your school. And I should say that most of my clients are startups, nonprofits, or do-it-yourselfers. So this is really ideal for starting schools, schools that don't have a big marketing budget, who need to do this on their own. At the end of the workshop, I'll share an outline of my process that I share with you today. I'll give you a PDF of my slides so you don't have to take pictures. And I'll have some other helpful tools for you to use to walk through the same process with your own team when you get back home. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with various aspects of digital marketing, but chances are good that some of you are attempting to apply the techniques and tools of digital marketing with an older print marketing mindset. Well, I'll talk about a little bit about digital marketing strategies. Effective digital marketing requires a shift in mentality away from the kinds of marketing that most of us have known growing up. This shift is necessary because the way people decide to spend money has changed. 10 years ago, most consumers still went into stores to talk to the experts who worked there to find the products that they needed. Now the majority of consumers not only prefer to purchase things online, but there are a lot of clear indications that most consumers don't trust the employees in the store when they refer a product. They don't trust what those employees have to say. Because Amazon and Google have made so much consumer experience data available instantaneously, consumers no longer rely on the people who work in the store. In fact, most people don't rely on what they have to say at all. This shift in purchasing strategies has led to a shift in marketing strategies as well. Before the shift, marketing focused on demand creation, or telling the customer, here's what you need and why you need it. Marketers call this outbound marketing because it moves from the business to the customer with the goal of making the customer desire something that they didn't know they even wanted. Okay. After customers shifted to digital vetting and consuming and purchasing, outbound marketing lost its return on investment because people were using the internet to find the product they wanted and then purchasing it there. Savvy companies who understood the shift in purchasing techniques, purchasing habits, began employing good digital marketing strategy to allow customers to find their product in web searches. These companies realized that when a customer comes to their site through a web search, they're already invested in what the company offers. So if their website successfully builds trust and authority when the customer comes to their site, there's a great chance that the visitor is ready to purchase from them. So instead of having to create demand for a product, these companies realized that they only had to capture the demand of the consumer. They had to figure out then the best way to be discovered by all the consumers searching the internet for their product and then find a way to convert them into purchasing customers. So to summarize, after the shift to a digital purchasing process, effective marketing shifted from outbound campaigns that were telling customers what they should buy to inbound campaigns where the customers, businesses were listening to what customers were requesting from the companies. Inbound marketing then assumes that many people are searching the internet for a solution to a specific problem, and businesses then want to appear on the first page of search results for search queries related to the product that they offer. But then in order to win the customer's trust, businesses have to provide relevant, helpful information that is tailored to the search query. And the more helpful the business is at answering the search query, the more the consumer trusts the business and the more likely they are to become a customer. So that's the theory of inbound marketing. To apply this idea to schools, we need to talk through the process by which a person moves from searching the web to enrolling in a classical school. And if we get this working, I have a great graphic. Think of an inverted triangle, right? A funnel, okay? Okay, there we go. So this is called a sales funnel. We're gonna look at this in terms of an enrollment funnel, okay, from an inbound marketing perspective. So let's say that a school searches Google for local schools in their area or some information related to an educational topic. Our school appears in the search results. The parent clicks on a link and then goes to our website and reads an article on our blog. They've just entered the first phase of our enrollment funnel, the discover, learn, like, understand. They found our school and they're interested in seeing if we can answer their question. The article they read is helpful, informative, and winsome. It not only answers the parent's original question, but answers many others that he didn't realize he actually had. The parent likes what he reads, clicks on a link in the article to read some other article in the school's blog. So they stay within the funnel, they stay on our website, they're learning more, they begin moving to the second phase, where they're building trust for our school. Eventually, he realizes that our school is an authority on educational issues. What's more, it seems to be thinking about education in a way that that makes much more sense than the schools his kids are actually enrolled in. The parent then bookmarks the website and shares the articles with his wife. They discuss them, read more about the school, maybe watch some videos. And then finally, they schedule a tour of the school, and after visiting with the headmaster, they enroll, which is the third phase of our enrollment funnel. Right, that's the goal, is getting them to enroll. So how do we go about creating an inbound digital marketing strategy that turns web traffic into newly enrolled families? There are three basic phases. We need to clarify the message, plan the content, and execute the campaign. The first phase is usually the hardest and most involved. That's why a lot of people skip it, but it's the most critically important. If it's done well, the rest of the process flows naturally, smoothly, and relatively quickly. So resist the temptation to skip this first part. Clarifying the marketing message involves four steps. Knowing the mission, conducting and evaluating family interviews, connecting pain points of the family to what your school offers, and then wordsmithing your marketing message. The first step in a marketing campaign is to make sure that what you're offering through your school is actually addressing your target audience's problems and pain points. Now, we all know that what we're offering in our classical schools is exactly what parents need. The trick with marketing is you have to make sure that how you're offering it makes sense to parents in a way that makes them want it. Okay? And this is the challenge of marketing. This means that you have to get clarity on three things. Why does your school exist? What are you offering to families? And do your families understand the message? Now, for most schools, the mission and vision statements answer the first two questions about why the school exists and what it's offering. The third question, though, is a bit trickier to answer. The problem is that mission and vision statements are written by faculty, board members, staff, administrators, and not by parents. And the answers that parents would give to these questions often differ from what the schools, the administrators would give. Instead of quoting the mission statements, parents often talk about pain points, right? The reasons that they came, pain points that the school has addressed or still hasn't addressed. And identifying and utilizing these pain points to write better marketing messages is the goal of this phase of the marketing strategy. Remember, the goal of digital marketing for schools is to answer the educational questions of parents online before they even come to our schools. You can't do that well unless you know what the questions are to begin with. And the best way to identify those questions is to learn them from your currently enrolled families, who most likely have the same questions as prospective families. Unfortunately, so there are two hang-ups that we have in identifying parent pain points. The first one is that the lexicon that parents use is different than the lexicon about education that the administrators use. We're often speaking past each other. We say trivium, and we think that should be, or transcendentals, truth, beauty, goodness, right? Becoming fully human, and parents are wondering what we're talking about, right? For us, that's the meat and potatoes of classical education. For parents, they think that we're weird, okay? The best way to identify pain points, then, is to do family interviews, but to do them in a particular way, okay? We want to interview families who are our raving fans, who love our school and everything about our school. We also want to interview stowaway families, families who they're enrolled in our school, they keep re-enrolling, but they really aren't on board with the school mission. We want to get a good cross-section of our families. And in the interviews, we want to ask them what brought them to the school and what's keeping them there, but we also want to ask them what's bothering them and what might be threatening to cause them to leave. And so this results in two interview questions that we need to ask. What do you love about our school? And what's bothering you about our school? And a lot of family interviews ask those two questions, but they just stop at the first level of answers. Okay, we need to go deeper. We need to go down below the first level of responses. And to do that, we can use a technique that I use with my clients. A lot of times clients come to me and they say, here's what my project is, and I don't believe them because most of the time they don't understand what their real goals are. So I have to ask them a series of questions that helps get to what they're really interested in. And so I use what I call a wide and deep technique that helps me understand these things. And this is how it works. I ask the first interview question, what do you love about our school? And the parent gives me a response. It's usually just one thing or a few things. And then I say, what else? What else? What else? I'm trying to cast as wide a net as possible to collect as much information from the parent as possible. This is going wide. Then I ask them, of all these things that you mentioned, X and Y and Z, and I repeat them for them so they can remember them, which is the most important to you? Okay? And this is starting to go deep. I want to know what they're really interested in. They love all these things, but which one do they love the most? And then I ask, why is it the most important? Why else? Why else? Why else? Okay. So I'm going down into, this is actually a process of discovery for the parents as well, going wide and deep. And then I iterate through this process until I feel like I've exhausted the responses, or exhausted the parent, or exhausted myself. And then I repeat it, I repeat the same process with the second question. What bothers you about the school? What else? What else? What else? And what I found with using this technique is that the interviewee is usually surprised at what this process reveals, right? They discover what they truly value about the school and what's really bothering them. Sometimes they realize that what's bothering them isn't really that big of a deal in light of the benefits. And the same thing is true with our school's families. These questions often lead to good conversations that we didn't really even know that we needed to have. I found that some of these conversations have actually been retention tools. Parents who were really thinking about not coming back, after they talk through all the things they love, they realize that this is the place for them. So I recommend these to you. After we have our interviews, the next thing we need to do is evaluate the interviews. We need to process through them, and what we're looking for are repeated patterns of pain points. What are the pain points that parents are expressing that are common, that keep recurring? We're also looking for the parents' actual language that they're using. We don't want to interpret what they're saying through our administrator grid at this point. This is marketing research, right? We don't want to say, they say less homework, but what they really mean is they want time for Saturday soccer. We don't want to interpret it at this point, right? We just want to focus on their actual language. What we're looking for as we evaluate are three things: pain points, benefits. What are the benefits that parents are expressing that they have gained from being at the school? And then we're looking for their actual lexicon. Once we have gone through that, we're ready to analyze, we're ready to begin working on crafting some marketing messages. I want to give you four examples of actual interview phrases that I've received from parents that keep recurring, and tell me, you can see if these resonate with you. These are from actual parents. I just want them to love Jesus. Just is a really important word there, right? I want them to be safe and happy. I'm hearing that one a lot more frequently over the last few years. I want them to love the Lord and be people of character. And I want academic rigor because I want my kids to learn to do hard things. I'm actually hearing that one less. Yes, is that true? Safe and happy is on the rise. Academic rigor is on the, yep. Marketing research right there. We just did some marketing research. Okay. To connect these quotes to the school's mission, we can use a tool, a very special, sophisticated tool called a spreadsheet. If you could click on that blank grid link. So this is just a very simple grid. I use it with clients. It's called a product results benefits chart, and it helps us connect what our customers, in this case our families' pain points are, to our mission, what we're doing as a school. Okay? And the goal is to make those two connect in a way that the parents still understand. So we just list the interview phrases on that leftmost column, and then we move through to the product. We ask, given this interview phrase, what aspect of our school is the parent interested in talking about? And that's going to form the conversation. And then we ask the result, why is the parent interested in this? Why are they interested in talking about this? And then we ask, what's the benefit, the ultimate benefit that they're seeking? Why do they desire this result? And I'll show you an example that I filled out. So here are our four interview phrases. That's probably really hard to see. I just want them to love Jesus. What's the aspect of our school that parent is interested in? The discipleship portion, right? So that's what we're going to talk about. Here's how our school disciples your children. Safe and happy. I'm not really sure what the parent might mean by that. We have to ask some clarifying questions, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And what they're interested in is the Christian environment, right? Are their children going to be in a safe Christian environment? Love the Lord, people of character, the parents interested in character and virtue formation aspect of our school. Academic rigor, we want to talk to them about the academic excellence of our school. Okay? So those are the aspects of our school that we want to focus on. Not just talking about classical Christian education in general, but those specific aspects of it. What's the result? What's the desired outcome? Why is this parent just interested in loving Jesus, their kids loving Jesus? She wants her kids, when they graduate high school, to be obedient, faithful young men and women of the Lord. The parent who's talking about safety and happiness, she's interested in knowing that other kids, usually it's other kids, are being held accountable to biblical standards, right? This is great marketing research, right? So we're going to talk about heart-centered discipline, right? We're going to use this as an opportunity to educate the parent about what we mean by safety and happiness, but we also want to reassure them. Yes, we have a safe Christian environment. Students who break the rules are held accountable to that, but we also discipline the heart, right? We understand that all of our children are sinners and in need of grace, and here's how we help them to realize that through discipline. The people of character parent, what are they desiring? Well, they want to know that their kids are going to be internalizing scripture and theology as standards of thought, behavior, and being. Right? Their kids are going to love truth, beauty, and goodness. And notice at this point, some of the school's lexicon starts coming in as well. Right? We're trying to help the parents' wording, parents' lexicon, interface with the school's lexicon. Academic rigor, what do those parents want? They want their graduating senior children to be lifelong learners, to be better thinkers, writers, and speakers than other students in the culture, to be equipped for any vocation. The last thing we focus on is benefit. And here we're asking, why does the parent want this result? What's the long-range goal that this parent has in mind? And they may not actually understand this. They may not have this goal in mind, but this is what we want to get them to understand. So the parent who's interested in discipleship, they want their children to be faithful, mature, wise Christians their whole life. Okay? The safe and happy parent, they want their children to become self-disciplined young adults, internalizing godly standards of action and discernment. Virtue formation, they want their children to be fully human, to be Christ-like, culture makers, complete and whole adults, and so on. The academic excellence parent, they're interested in test scores, college entrance, scholarships, skill acquisition, leadership, change makers, and culture shapers. Notice, again, this is the point, the benefits column is the point at which our lexicon really matches the parent's lexicon. And the point of this chart is to help us to dig deep into what parents are actually interested in. Once we have identified, once we've gone through our grid and we've done some work unpacking what the parents are actually interested in and how our school actually meets that, we want to clarify our message by writing some new marketing messages out of this process. And this is how this works. We basically take a look at this whole first row. Okay, and that's the love Jesus parent concern. And that entire process that we went through is going to become the material for a new marketing message, a new marketing campaign. So when parents come in and say, I want my kids to love Jesus, we have kind of an outline of what we're going to talk about. Okay. But we want to actually express this in a specific message. And so here are some examples. When you're doing this, you want to try to write a message in sentence form that has as much of the parent's actual words in it as possible, but also is consistent with the vision of the school. Okay. So here's an example for all five of our, all four of our parents. Message number one, for discipleship. Our school produces mature, wise, faithful Christians who love Jesus, his kingdom, and his church. Okay, so when a parent says, I want my kids to love Jesus, here's what our school does to answer that need. For Christian culture, our school provides a safe Christian environment that shapes students' hearts and souls to obey God's word, rest in his love, and rejoice always in his goodness. Okay, see what I did there? I took this safety and happiness, which probably the parent meant something completely different, and I framed it in a way that answers, here's how, your children will be safe and happy, in this way that's consistent with the vision of classical Christian education and the gospel. Okay. Character formation. Our school teaches students to love what is true, do what is good, and imitate what is beautiful so they may be people of character and mature faith. I probably need to work on that one a little bit more, but notice how I've avoided a lot of the language, the jargon of virtue and virtue formation. I didn't quote Jamie Smith once there, right? But that has been thoroughly informed by Jamie Smith. Academic excellence, the high standards of our school train students to be the best thinkers, writers, and speakers, and to be equipped to be leaders in their homes, churches, businesses, and communities. The point of these messages is to help us as administrators understand how parent pain points line up with a specific aspect of our school so that we can communicate to them effectively that our school really is the best solution for them. And we don't, when a parent comes in and says, I want my kids to be safe and happy, we don't just want to robotically cite message number two, right? We want to actually ask some clarifying questions, walk through our whole process with them. We could use this message as an outline to communicate with the parents what we're talking about. So how do we deliver these messages online? That brings us to the second aspect, the second phase of our digital marketing strategy, planning the content. Remember our enrollment funnel? In order for our school to build trust with a new visitor to our website, we have to not only answer their initial search question, but we also have to convince them to stay engaged with our site by reading more content, joining an email list, or signing up for a school tour. And so the next phase of our process planning the content has three steps. We have to come up with a lot of content ideas. We have to create the most critically important content, and then we have to optimize that content for the website. To create our content, the hardest part about digital marketing really is consistently creating content. How many of you have a blog on your school's website? Okay. How many of you post to that blog consistently? A few of you? And by consistently, I mean it's once a month, that's fine, but it's every day, same day of the month, yeah, good. Consistency is the hardest thing. And what's even harder is to write consistent content that has a specific audience in mind with a specific call to action that you're trying to have the audience take. So here's what I worked through this with clients. This is called a 10 by 10 content matrix. You could use a blank Word document if you needed to. In the corner under 10 topics, those are the aspects of the school that we identified after we looked at the parent pain points. Okay, ideally you'd have around 10. What I do then is write those 10 topics. I write them down on a piece of paper or in this spreadsheet that I have. And then I come up with 10 subtopics, all related to discipleship. And these are ideas for specific content, blog articles, for instance. Like I might talk about my elementary Bible curriculum, write a blog post on that. But it's going to be a piece of digital content that helps me communicate my marketing message about discipleship. These are all the ways that we help your children love Jesus. Okay, let me show you an example of this filled out. So here are, I filled in 10 topics. And then down here are the 10 subtopics that I have come up with. Okay, so for culture, Christian environment, I'm going to talk about what it means to shepherd the heart, what that looks like, why we walk in lines, defining happiness in Christian schools, defining safe in Christian schools. Those are all topics for blog articles that I'm going to write. The great thing about this is that when I finish this entire chart, I'm going to have 100 ideas for digital content that I can use. And because I've written out 100 ideas, I can focus on one specific idea at a time. If you don't do this, what happens is you write a blog article on discipleship and it morphs into a complete explanation of everything you do as a school, right? You put everything in there. This is helpful because it gives you plenty of ideas to work from. It's also helpful because you have a specific audience in mind, right? When you write an article on one of the character topics, you're trying to address the parent who's interested in character and virtue formation. Here's what our school does. Here's what you're interested in. Here's how our school accomplishes this. Make sense? And ideally, if your articles are written correctly, not only will that be a marketing message to the parent who's concerned with that, it'll also be an effective article at convincing families who are currently enrolled to stay enrolled. After working through this entire worksheet, you have 100 pieces of content. The question then becomes, which one is next? Where do we start? What do we focus on first? And the answer is really simple. You just pick the ones that you think are most critical or most urgent. What was the interview phrase that came up the most? That's where you want to begin. Yeah. So here we've selected our three key topics, and that's what we're going to work on now. We're going to create some blog posts, and I'm going to walk you through some ideas for content creation. Once we know the most important ideas that we have to talk through or that we have to address with our audience, we're ready to create content. Regardless of the format that you're using, whether it is videos or blog posts, the marketing principles of content creation are the same. You need to show the reader every piece of digital content that you post should have these three things. You need to show the reader that we understand their problem or pain point. Here's who this article is for. You should present an attractive solution to the problem, and then you need to invite the reader to take the next step. Right? Here's the solution, and here's what you need to do next in order to actualize that solution for yourself. Instead of starting from scratch with each new piece of content, it's helpful to use a template that ensures that all three of these principles are met. It's also good to use a template that's proven to be effective at encouraging parents to take that next step. And we'll walk through one here with you. This is an effective template for blog posts. First of all, we want to give a promise. This is our introduction to our content that explains to the reader what the article intends to deliver. Why should someone read, watch, or listen to this content? Okay, this is where we answer that question. How will they be transformed as a result? Next, we present the problem. This is the section of our content that outlines the problem the reader is facing, and this is where we give voice to the pain point of the reader. This reinforces why he or she should read the article, but it also shows the reader that we understand their problem and we're offering a solution. Rhetorically speaking, we're building ethos and pathos with our audience here. We're showing our goodwill. Next, we present the process or the message, and this is the bulk of the blog post. The process, it could be a process that we're discussing. Here's our enrollment process, or here's our discipline process. It could also just be a message, right, where you present 3 to 5 teaching points. Here's what we're going to talk about. Next, we have a list of do's and don'ts. If your blog post is action-oriented, you could list a set of do this, don't do that. If it's more theoretical, you could list mistakes and misunderstandings that are common. There are lots of examples you could think of. The next thing that you want to have in your content always is a call to action, some kind of next step. Finish off your piece of content telling the reader what they should do next. And two very simple calls to action that you could add immediately would be setting up some kind of form that encourages parents to schedule a tour of your school. Come in and talk to us. Talk to the headmaster. Come see our students in action, see our teachers in action, or asking them to join an email, some kind of email nurture sequence, specifically written for new parents, prospective parents who haven't been to the school yet. Next, once we have our content written, we want to optimize it. We could just post it to the website now, but there are strategies of optimizing your content that helps ensure readers will actually engage with it and the entirety of it. So here are a couple things to think through. Use at least one image. Ideally, it would be a full-width image, the width of the blog column on your website. It would be near the top, and it would be contextual, right? It needs to somehow relate to the content of your article. One other thing, ideally, it wouldn't be stock photo, right? It wouldn't be a blog stock image. It would be something, a picture from your actual school, highlighting your teachers, your building, your students especially. Next, you want to be sure that your text uses headers, short paragraphs, and pull quotes, some kind of visual elements that help break up the text. Readers tend not to read entire blog articles if there are really long paragraphs or big chunks of text. And I know